कृष्ण गोप गोविरा श्याम कुंड रात गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नव गोवर्धन की जय गौ श्री तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जय नंद हरे वैष्णव वृंद की जय सब भक्त भक्त वृंद की जय गौ प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू समर्थ वॉरियर्स ऑल ग्लोरी टू समर्थ वॉरियर्स ऑल ग्लोरी टू समर्थ वॉरियर्स ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु श्री गुरु ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु ओम नमो वासुदेवाय Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 13 verse 10 Shri Sukha Vavacha Evam Sanchodita Vrayu Evam Sanchodita Vrayu Mother of Vana Hanadripam Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Sanchodita, being encouraged, Vipray, by the Brahmanas, Marukvan, Indra, Ahana, killed Ripam, Vritasura, and Brahmahatya. Sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana. Hate was killed. Tasmin, when he Asasara approached Krishna Kapim, Indra. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, encouraged by the words of the sages, Indra killed Vritasura, and when he was killed, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana certainly took shelter of Indra. Purport, after killing Vritasura, Indra could not surpass the Brahmahatya, sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana. Formerly, he had killed one Brahmana, Vishwarupa, out of circumstantial anger. But this time, following the advice of the sages, he killed another Brahmana purposely. Therefore, the sinful reaction was greater than before. Indra could not be relieved from the reaction simply by performing sacrifices for atonement. He had to undergo a severe series of sinful reactions, and when he was freed by such suffering, the Brahmanas allowed him to perform the horse sacrifice, the planned execution of sinful deeds, on the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord or undergoing pious citta. Atonement cannot give relief to anyone, even to Indra or Nahusha. Nahusha was officiating for Indra, while Indra, absent from heaven, was going there to gain release from his sinful reactions. Following the advice of the demigods, Indra killed Vritrasura, and he suffered because of the sinful reaction. Although the other demigods were happy, he could not derive happiness from the killing of Vritrasura. Indra's other good qualities, such as tolerance and opulence, could not help him in his grief. Purport: one cannot be happy by committing sinful activities, even if one is endowed with material opulence. Indra found this to be true. People began to blaspheme him, saying, "This person has killed a Brahmana for the sake of enjoying heavenly material happiness." Therefore, in spite of being king of heaven and enjoying material opulence, Indra was always unhappy because of the accusations of the populace. Indra saw personified sinful reactions chasing him, appearing like a Chandala woman, a woman of the lowest class. She seemed very old, and all the limbs of her body trembled. Because she was afflicted with tuberculosis, her body and garments were covered with blood. Breathing an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street, she called to Indra, "Wait, wait." Purport: when a person is afflicted with tuberculosis, he vomits blood, which makes his garments bloody. Indra's sins were diminished by the influence of Rudra, the demigod of all directions. Because Indra was protected by the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu's wife, who resides in the lotus cluster of Manasa Sarova Lake, Indra's sins could not affect him. Indra was ultimately relieved of all sinful reactions of his sinful deeds by strictly worshipping Lord Vishnu. Then he was called back to the heavenly planets by the Brahmanas and reinstated in his position. O King, when Lord Indra reached the heavenly planets, the saintly Brahmanas approached him and properly initiated him into a horse sacrifice meant to please the Supreme Lord. A horse sacrifice performed by the saintly Brahmanas relieved Indra of the reactions to all his sins because he worshipped the Supreme Personality of God in that sacrifice. O King, although he had committed a gravely sinful act, it was nullified at once by that sacrifice, just as fog is vanquished by the brilliant sunrise. King Indra was favored by Marichi and other great sages. They performed the sacrifice just according to the rules and regulations, worshiping the Supreme Personality of God, the Super Soul, the original person. Thus, Indra regained his exalted position and was again honored by everyone. In this very great narrative, there is glorification of the Supreme Personality of God and Narayana. There are statements about the exaltedness of devotional service. There are descriptions of devotees like Indra and Vritrasura, and there are statements about King Indra's relief from sinful life and about his victory in fighting the demons. By understanding this incident, one is relieved of all sinful reactions. Therefore, the learned always advise to read this narration. If one does so, one will become expert in the activities of the senses. His opulence will increase, and his reputation will become widespread. One will also be relieved of all sinful reactions. He will conquer all of his enemies, and the duration of his life will increase. Because this narration is all auspicious in all respects, learned scholars regularly hear it repeated on every festival day. Thus, in the Bhagavatam, purports the 6th canto, 13th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Indra, Afflicted by Sinful Reactions. So, Indra killed Vritrasura, but as explained here, he had to suffer reactions because Vritrasura was technically a Brahmana, even though he was a demon. And that, in spite of the fact that it was the sages that advised them to kill him, still Indra was responsible ultimately for the act. So he bore most of the sinful reactions, and that's described here. He had to suffer for some time. So sinful reaction is often decreased by experiencing suffering. Karma is there as a result of sin, and if you undergo the karma and experience it. Then that's, you're finished, you've paid back your debt, so to speak. But, of course, here we find that not only did he do that, he also worshipped the Supreme Lord in the form of the horse sacrifice. And, of course, he was also protected by Lakshmi and Shiva. So anyway, he performed a horse sacrifice and assisted by the sages, and in that way again, he was completely free of any sinful reaction. Of course, we can always ask the question of why did he have to do all this, because we also know that devotional service is the relief for any sinful activity, including killing a Brahmana. Every morning we recite the around Tulsi, that you recite, you go around Tulsi, even the sin of killing a Brahmana is destroyed by going around Tulsi Devi. So, chanting the holy name, of course, also will do the same thing. It says that more sins than you can commit are destroyed by the chanting of the name even once. So, actually, the holy name is even more powerful than doing all of this horse sacrifices and whatever. However, it's also explained here that there was some intention involved here. In his, it was not an accidental killing, it was actually intentional. He did it in full knowledge with the advice of the sages, and therefore he had to bear the result. But again, that was, you say, arrangement of the Supreme Lord to restore the devatas in their position, and also an arrangement for Vritrasura to get out of his demon body. So it was not completely Indra's fault, so to speak. Nevertheless, we see that there are reactions here. Why will there be reactions at all, since it's all the Lord's plan? And the answer can be that this is an arrangement of the Lord also. Even the sinful reactions, whatever the sinful reactions come, are the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, simply to illustrate certain facts. So, here the fact is illustrated here, or the point made is that one should not kill Brahmanas, or interfere with, offend Brahmanas in any way. So there is respect given to the Brahmana, and this of course is part of the Varnashram system. So one has to respect the Brahmana. Even Indra has to do so. So we see also other stories in the Bhagavatam, like the story of King Nriga, and somehow or other he offended a Brahmana and became a lizard as a result of his unintentional offense of giving the cow twice to a different Brahmanas. So, and he suffered a lizard body because one of the Brahmins cursed him. So therefore that's a story is also to teach about respecting Brahmanas properly and whatever, and not in any way dissatisfying them. So we will see such stories in the Bhagavatam, and Krishna himself obeys such rules, and he always gives respect to the sages and the Brahmanas, etc. On the other hand, we also know that even greater respect is given to the Vaishnava. So the Vaishnava may not be a Brahmana, may not even be a Sudra, but if it's a Vaishnava, then he's given very, very great respect, more than even the Brahmana. And that, of course, is also pointed out in the Bhagavatam and by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussions with Ramananda Roy. So, the Vaishnava is in the most exalted position of all. So the effect of offending the Vaishnava will be even more than offending a Brahmana or killing a Brahmana or whatever. So definitely one can get a sinful reaction in the form of suffering karmas. But the other effect is it's Vaishnava Aparad, so therefore you also get the effect on bhakti, that whatever bhakti one may have done is finished. And if you're not a devotee and you harm Vaishnavas, then you also get the effect of that, of blocking bhakti for a long time, making it difficult to have bhakti at all. Here in the case of Indra, who was a devotee, he had to kill
Ritchasura, who's not only a Brahmin, but also a devotee. So his Brahmin quality was not much, because he was actually Asura, acting as a demon against just trying to destroy everyone. So even his Brahmin quality was really not much, but his devotional status was very high. And therefore, killing the Vaishnava is actually even worse than killing the Brahmin. That offense is even more. Yeah? But on the other hand, we know that this whole arrangement was made by the Lord so that Ritchasura could get free from that body and go to the spiritual world. So it's all an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So just to show the seriousness of offending Brahmanas, therefore, the Lord also made this arrangement for some karmas to affect Indra, in spite of the fact that he was also simply following the orders of the sages and ultimately the will of the Lord. So he had to suffer some karma for some time. So bhakti and chanting the name destroys karma, and it can do so instantly, does so instantly, according to the Bhagavatam. There are statements such as the one who remembers the Supreme Lord and chants the name of the Lord immediately becomes more qualified than the Brahmana, even if he's an outcast. And he's qualified to do a Soma Yajna immediately, instead of chanting the name once, whatever like that. That is the effect of chanting. The becoming a Chandala is due to sinful reactions. So the sinful reaction is cancelled out by chanting the name of the Lord or remembering the Lord's lotus feet. And immediately he's qualified for doing a sacrifice. So that is the effect of chanting. Nevertheless, we do see that people do chant, but they don't seem to change. So one reason, of course, is this statement is made about immediate destruction of all sins, etc. That refers to people who do not commit aparadhas. They do commit aparadhas, and that promise is not there. So in the case of Ajna, yes, his sins were all destroyed. But also it didn't look like he was purified, because he was still doing sinful activities for so many years after he named his son Ramayana. He continued the same sinful life a lot. Like, how is he purified of all the sinful reactions if he's still going on sinning? So the answer is that the holy name hides its powers and does not reveal all its powers all the time. So there is an apparent continuation of sin and karma in Ajna. Technically, no, it's all gone, and therefore Yamaraj cannot touch him. Even if he did sinful activities after naming his son Narayana, still, there's no sinful reaction. But it looks as if the sin is continuing in his life. Looks like he didn't change. So that is up to the name itself. The name may transform the person visibly. It may not do so. They may prefer to leave the glories of the holy name hidden. So this is a case of that the reactions and stuff looked as if they were still continuing, but actually they were destroyed. But there was an appearance of things going on by the arrangement of the Lord. So therefore, we should not underestimate the power of the holy name. There may be appearances that look like karma going on, but technically gone. If the person did not commit aparadha. So Ajamil was fortunate. He did not commit aparadhas of any sort. He was not thinking of the Lord and thinking, I'll name his son Narayana so I can make a few forms of simple reactions. He didn't think like that. He was accidentally named son Narayana, that's all. So, in this sense, he didn't get any offense. And none of the non-aparadhas, didn't commit any non-aparadhas or whatever. He didn't commit any Vaishnava aparadhas or whatever. So, that is why the sins were all destroyed, and yet the Yamadutas couldn't touch it at all. So if there is aparadhas, then the name will not destroy all the karmas, etc. So that is the power of the holy name also. However, as we see here, in the case of this story here, at the end, there's a whole glorification of reading this story, because then you can get free of your sinful activities, and you can get opulence, and you can get so many wonderful things. You can get reputation, whatever. So it's promising all of these material things as a result of hearing this story. And similarly, in chanting the name, then we get all sorts of results, like destroying karma, getting so many things, whatever, material things. So we should not think that is the result. This is the result that devotees want from devotional service. These things are stated to show that hearing about devotees, as in the case here of the killing of Trisura, etc., or enchanting the name can give whatever karma kanda can give, or whatever gyan can give. It's also available very easily, simply by hearing the stories about the Supreme Lord and his devotees, or chanting the name. But it's also not the goal that the devotee wants in performing bhakti or hearing these stories, but these are secondary things. So these powers are there in devotional service. All sorts of, you can get all sorts of material things, but that is not the goal of the devotees. So we should not be confused when we hear material glorifications or powers of the devotional service like this. These are meant to encourage people who may have material attraction to show them that instead of doing something worshipping devatas, at least worship the Supreme Lord. And very easily one will get these results, material results, plus much more. Well, of course, Vaishnavas are various types. We have the Kanishta Vaishnava, the Madhyam, and the Uttama. And we have what is called Vaishnava Praya, even less than the Kanishta, where he may adopt the dress and behavior of the Vaishnava, but he doesn't really accept all of the principles and whatever. And then above that, we have the Kanishta, who at least accepts the existence of the Supreme Lord, but he may not understand the philosophy nicely and doesn't associate with devotees. So he's called a Kanishta Vaishnava. And when he does understand properly the position of Krishna and the nature of bhakti, etc., then he is called Madhyama. Killing a sudra or whatever, they get a greater reaction in terms of varnashramic rules. Because the higher up the person, the more qualified the person is, then if you kill them, then you get more sinful reaction. If we kill an animal, we get less sinful reaction than killing a human being. And among human beings, we kill the brahmana, then we get more reaction than killing a sudra, for instance. Well, see, all killing is not sin. In war, they kill each other. It's not sinful. They go to Svarga by fighting in battle. Then they get good result instead. So it's not all killing. If it is done for a just cause or for a good reason, then there's not a problem. It's only unjust killing that gets the sinful. They bite, huh? Snakes bite. They poison you if they are going to attack you. Kill them. saying? Any type of bhakti will destroy karmas. But of course, chanting is the most effective. Just to show thee that we shouldn't kill Brahmanas, therefore he got some reaction. Yeah, well, there's prescriptions for violence. If the person burns down your house, he attacks your family, or kills your wife, or kidnaps the wife, or the children, or whatever, there's like six or seven more than that, probably, in the Smriti Shastras, in which you can kill the person. There are things like that. No, it's permitted. If someone attacks you, then you're allowed violence. Well, he took him to the spiritual world. He got him another demon body and put him in the spiritual world. And of course, he protected Indra by giving his kingdom back.
Nirantara